Set Free Ministry team and its international ministry partners welcomes you to another edition of The Journey. Whether working in some little jungle village in South Asia or the mean city streets in South America, the Set Free team faithfully brings the message of Jesus to those in need, building churches, training pastors, working with international leaders, and securing our religious freedoms. Set Free touches others for Jesus. Whether using old-fashioned evangelistic crusades or even the newer mediums of television and the internet, we bring the message of the kingdom of heaven to those around us. And now our hosts, Dr. Dale and Terry Climie.
And this morning we're talking about making assumptions and how dangerous it can be, at the very least, how embarrassing it can be to make assumptions. There was a time several years ago where Sister Terry and I were working with a product called Neken. And Neken had magnets, and these magnets, it was discovered, would help control pain in your body. And so we were working with a doctor friend of ours, and there was a health seminar or a health fair at one of the malls. And so we were there with all of our products, and we were giving demonstrations. And we had this this thing. It looked like a medieval torture device, but it had this little ball or a couple of balls in the middle with all these little bumps on it and these handles on it, and you would work it up and down somebody's spine. Do you remember that, Terry? And it had all these little magnets in it, and it would really help you if you had pain in your back. It would take the pain out. And so we were demonstrating this, and this lady came by, and she looked to be maybe in her early 30s. And she was a very beautiful young lady, and she had a very shapely figure, and she was obviously pregnant. She had a pronounced baby bump, as they say in the modern culture. And so she came up and she said, "I would like to have that massage." And I looked at her and I said, "I'm sorry, ma'am, but these things have not been cleared by the FDA for people who are pregnant." And she looked at me and she said, "And who's pregnant?" So I turned about 18 different shades of deep red, and and after that, she wasn't interested at all. She just kind of turned on her heels and stormed out of there, and that's one of those embarrassing moments that I'll probably carry to my grave. All right, so I made this assumption that just because she happened to have this tummy that she was pregnant, and I found out that I made a most incorrect and embarrassing assumption. And it's interesting as we go through life that we're making assumptions all the time. We'll hear people talk, and we will, just from the little bit of information that we pick up, we will make our own assumptions about what is going on in their life, what our interaction may need to be, or whatever. And the same thing has happened to our friend Job. Now, we're in Job chapter 4, beginning at verse 1 this morning. Remember, up to this point, Job was the richest man in all of the East. He had everything. Everything that anybody could want, and because Satan had made an accusation about Job to God, God had given Satan the permission to take away everything that Job had. And so in a day, Job lost all of his possessions, even his 10 children. And then we don't know how long he lingered in that state, but then a little while later, again, Satan appears before God. And God again is bragging on Job and saying, "Look at my man Job down here, how even though you have come against him and you've taken everything away from him, how he still worships me." And Satan makes another accusation. "It's only because he still has his health. But if you let me take away his health, he will curse you to your face." And so God makes another decision that seems entirely foreign to us. And he says, "Okay, you can take away his health, but you can't kill him." And so we find Job now in this state of total loss. Everything that is of value to him has been taken away, and now Satan has struck him with oozing sores from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. His friends hear of his predicament. They come from afar, and they find their friend sitting in the village garbage heap, just scraping his skin with broken pieces of pottery to somehow assuage the pain that he's in. And so they sat with Job for 7 days and seven nights. And then Job begins his lament. And that's what we studied last week. How he cannot understand why this has happened to him. And now we're going to see the response of Job's friends. There's three friends that we are making an assumption. All right, again, that assumption may get you into trouble. But we're making the assumption that they are from Job's socioeconomic level. These gentlemen also are probably very wealthy. They can go and visit their friend for weeks on end and not have to worry about work. And so they obviously have some amount of financial freedom in their lives. And they have sat here and they've listened to Job. And now, according to the Eastern custom, the oldest one gets to speak first. They have sat quietly by, nobody saying anything for 7 days and seven nights. And then in verse 1 of Job chapter 4, we have Eliphaz the Temanite's response. Then Eliphaz the Temanite answered, "If one ventures a word with you, will you become impatient? But who can refrain from speaking? Behold, you have admonished many, and you have strengthened the weak hands. Your words have helped the tottering to stand, and you have strengthened the feeble knees. But now it has come to you, and you are impatient. It touches you, and you are dismayed." And the first thing that we find here is that Eliphaz, who with a name like that, he doesn't have any room to speak. Okay? And he thinks he's making an assumption that he knows what's going on in Job's life. He's making an assumption that he has something to offer Job. And we need to be careful when we're dealing with our brothers and our sisters and even those that are outside the realm of faith right now when they're going through difficult times. Because you may want to say, well, if you would just go to church, that wouldn't happen. If you would just live right, that wouldn't happen. If you'd be a good father, a good mother, a good whatever, that wouldn't happen. We have a tendency to look at the things that irk us about this person, and now here is our opportunity to let them know. We know what's going on. And so this man is saying, "I can't keep my mouth shut, Job. I have to tell you what I see going on in your life." This man assumes that he has something productive to say. And in doing so, he only reinforces that saying that we have, it is better to keep your mouth shut and to let people think that you're a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. And God is going to come back and take care of Eliphaz a little bit later in the story. But it's important for us, folks. We don't walk in the shoes of the people that we meet. We don't know all of the things that are going on in their lives. And it would be very presumptuous of us to just assume that we have the answer for everybody's problem. Amen? And so as Eliphaz is talking to Job, he's saying, "Job, I have kept quiet, but I can't keep quiet any longer. There is something that I have to say." Folks, Eliphaz was doing just fine when he was sitting there for 7 days and seven nights with Job saying nothing. And sometimes that's the best thing that we can do for the people that are hurting around us, is just be there. In chaplaincy, we call that the ministry of presence. Just let them know that you care. Let them know that you're there. And that is oftentimes enough for most people. And so Eliphaz, he makes this assumption that he has something to say. It's interesting, as Terry and I have ministered in some Pentecostal churches, and there they want to practice a gift of a gift of knowledge or a gift of wisdom or whatever, and people will stand up and say, well, the reason that this person has problems in their life is because of this, this, and this. And in reality, they're saying these things because they've heard stuff through the grapevine. And so they want to give some weight to what they're saying. And so they said, the Lord has told me this, that you're going through this problem because of whatever. And so many times I've stood in the pulpit and I've just said, oh no. Have you ever made a big mistake? That's not what's going on at all. And so it is human nature to assume that we have the answer for these problems. Sometimes the best thing for us to do is just be there. And then Eliphaz goes on and he says in verse 3, you have admonished many, and you have strengthened weak hands. Your words have helped the tottering to stand, and you have strengthened feeble knees. See, Job has walked out his life. He has been there for people that are in need. And you would think that that would bring him a certain amount of appreciation. But you know how this old fallen world is. Amen? And even though you may work so diligently to help others, there is always somebody who is a little jealous of God's blessings in your life. And so those who have done much, many times, receive the harsher condemnation. As a matter of fact, that's true in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul says, don't everybody try to be a teacher, because teachers come under a harsher condemnation. God judges teachers a little bit more severely for their actions than other people, because teachers have a tendency to affect more lives. And so now Job is coming under this condemnation, and I have an idea that it just may be because that Eliphaz may be a little bit jealous of Job. Yeah, Job, you've done all of this in the past, but now look at this situation. Now I can sit here and lord it over you because I still have all my wealth, and I still have all my health, and I have all of this. And he's given him a rough time. And he says, now, verse 5, but now it has come to you, and you are impatient. In the King James, it says that you faint. And it touches you, and you are dismayed. See, Job has voiced his dismay at the whole situation. Job knows that he hadn't done anything wrong. He's been very careful to be, doing sacrifices and everything that he thinks God requires of him, because he so dearly wants to be righteous in his God's eyes. He's doing everything that he can, and now Eliphaz is saying, Job, all of your excuses don't mean anything. He just blows off Job's laments like, oh, now you're impatient. Now you're upset with God. You're just like the one that you tried to teach when you had all the money and all the wealth and all of the recognition in the world. And now look at you, Job. You're just like everybody else, and you're mad at God, and you're not receiving, God's correction. And verse 6, he says, is not your fear of God, your confidence in the integrity, your ways of hope? In other words, if you were living right, Job, you'd have nothing to worry about. Because after all, bad things don't happen to good people. As a matter of fact, he goes on in verse 7, remember now, whoever perished being innocent? Or where were the upright destroyed? And so now we have Eliphaz making another assumption. He's making an assumption that in a fallen world, bad things don't happen to good people. Well, how many of us here have generally lived a pretty good life? Okay, I don't think we have too many murderers and rapists and, you know, serial arsonists and things like that in our congregation. If you have that history, we'll just trust that it's under the blood, all right? But still, as we have tried to live a good life, tried to be good wives, good husbands, good fathers, good, you know, whatever that we have, bad things have happened. Folks, we live in a fallen world, don't we? And because we live in a fallen world, sometimes we get sick. Sometimes there's a car accident. You're on your way to do something for Jesus, and you get into a car accident. Sometimes bad things happen to good people, and Eliphaz is making an assumption. He is saying, look, things are going on earth just like they are in heaven. In heaven, God's will is followed perfectly. Nothing goes on up there that is outside of God's will. But Eliphaz is forgetting that down here we're living in a fallen world. Down here we're living with the right to make our own choices and to live with the consequences of these choices. So again, Eliphaz is making an assumption, an incorrect assumption, that if you do everything right, then everything good is going to happen to you. And the only time that bad things will happen to you is if you're doing bad things. Last Sunday I gave the illustration how Terry and I ended up going to this little church in Morrilton, Arkansas, that believed that if you were sick, if there was something wrong in your life, this was the judgment of God on you. And the only reason that something like that would happen is if there was unconfessed sin in your life. And Sister Terry and I earnestly would get down on our knees and pray, oh God, forgive. We went over every sin that we could remember. You know, forgive us for these sins. And nothing happened. So then we went back and started making up sins, just in case we accidentally committed a sin we didn't know about. And so we asked forgiveness for that, and still the sickness was there. Because we had assumed that these people at this church were correct, they made the same assumption that Eliphaz made, that if you've done nothing but good, then nothing but good will happen to your life. Amen? That's not true. We've all suffered loss in some way or another, even though we have tried so desperately to live lives that are pleasing to God. And in times like those, we have to be like Job and go back and say, God, all I can do is trust in you. Amen. That's all I can do is trust in you. In verse 7 he says, according to what I have seen, those who plow iniquity and those who sow trouble harvest it. So Job, what you're going through now is just the natural manifestation of unconfessed sin in your life. Amen? I think Eliphaz is very lucky that Job didn't have a stone or something handy to conk him in the head with or whatever. After all that he has gone through, I think in sitting out there on that trash heap for 7 days and seven nights, I think he has done a thorough review of his life. And if there was anything that he understood was in violation of God's law, I'm sure he got that confessed. Amen? And so here are these three men who have made this special effort to travel from afar, to visit their friend who's in these dire straits, but it seems that every time they open their mouth, they are making mistakes, making the matter worse, because they're making incorrect assumptions about God. So for Eliphaz, and Job chapter 5 does continue on with Eliphaz's comments and all of that. This will be all that we study about Eliphaz today. And we'll go on to the next friend's comments next week. But for Eliphaz, I think he was further ahead just sitting there with his mouth shut. He did the most good, and I think we can all agree that Eliphaz did the most good for this situation, when he kept his mouth shut. And when he opened his mouth is when he started to give his friend more grief. Amen? Well, fortunately for us today, we have something that Job didn't have and Eliphaz didn't have so many years ago, and that's we do have the Holy Spirit of God. And so the Word tells us that the Holy Spirit makes intercessions for us and groanings that cannot be uttered. That the Holy Spirit will give us wisdom to say the right things. But also, as we are trusting in God to give us wisdom so that we might say the right thing, we need to understand that perhaps the right thing to say is nothing. Amen? Amen. Amen. Because your presence says more than anything else can. So, Father God, we thank you for your...
Morning comes, another day. Time doesn't wait, it doesn't stay. You have a choice you must make. How will you face it all? Life just winds like a mountain road. Sometimes yes and sometimes no. Good or bad, nobody knows. Will you choose to stand or fall? Just when you choose to take it on, the waves stop and the sea goes calm. You lie down to rest your mind. Here comes the rain. Yeah, welcome to the journey.